Father, we thank you for this time tonight. We appreciate the opportunity to gather with your people and be in the Bible. And we ask you to touch our lives and our minds as we study these things tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We began a little thought on Sunday about discernment. And we were in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. I want to continue with this. Hebrews 5:14, solid food belongs to those who are full of age, who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use. So the mature is defined in this verse as those who use what they are learning. Frustration is knowledge without execution, or knowledge without application. Knowledge without application equals frustration. A mature believer is someone who gets knowledge and then explores opportunity to apply that knowledge. And that is an honest event that happens in a believer's life who is serious about God's Word. So I learn a subject in the Bible, and then before God, I seek opportunity to apply that knowledge. So let's say, for example, I hear a message about winning the lost. And I'm excited about what I hear. I realize there's a value. I agree with it. I understand it. And I honestly desire to have that in my life. But for some reason, from the time I hear what I've heard to when I get out in my car in the parking lot, some of the motivation is gone. Some of the excitement is gone. Now all I'm left with is, many times, my own cluttered thinking. So taking knowledge seriously and working toward application is a fundamental need for every believer. God is trying to sculpt your soul. And the sculpting of your soul is more than filling your ears with knowledge. The sculpting of your soul is leading you into application. It's leading you into executing the things you're hearing. So I've learned many things in the Word of God over the years. Everything from, I don't know, polemics to apologetics to, things like, covenant theology, for example. So where's the application in those things? Much of what we learn in the Bible presents to us the plan of God for the ages. But the instruction of the Word of God, the correction of the Word of God, is God's way of molding me into the part of the plan to the big picture. So God's plan for the ages involves Israel and the Gentile world. I have a part in God's plan for the ages. I discover that part through application of knowledge. Do you understand this? I am applying the Word of God, and in doing so, I'm becoming part of the plan for the ages. A voluntary part of the plan for the ages. Now, you're going to be part of the plan, whether you are cooperative or not. God has different ways of using you in his plan. I would prefer the way of obedience and the way of blessing, you know. So, that being said, this verse defines the person who is discerning as one who has knowledge, solid food, and is exercising that knowledge. That person can discern good and evil. Discernment is the selection. Discernment is the selections I make in life as I understand them to be good or evil. The various choices you make every day matter. Every choice I make is a kingdom choice. Now, I'm not talking about whether you have turkey or ham on your sandwich. That's ridiculous. But I'm talking about, well, it may be if you have an allergy to ham or if you're trying to lose weight and God has shown you that there's a problem. But the choices that I make in life, those choices are either good or they're evil. If you're for me, you're either for me or you're. You're either sowing or you're scattering, right? The decision's either a good decision or it's a evil decision. How many understand this so far? Discernment is that, as I grow in discernment, I'll make more selections that are good. I'll make more choices that fall on the side of good. Divine good, which transcends natural good, which is a topic for another message. We could talk about that at some point, divine good versus natural good. But discernment is an important part of your life. I mean, sometimes the Bible isn't completely clear on a particular topic, right? Should you get drunk? No, the Bible's clear you shouldn't get drunk, right? But, you know, there's other things like, should you start a business selling widgets with this shape or widgets with this shape? The Bible's not clear on that. Some of those unclear decisions are going to take discernment because there will be other peripheral issues with every decision I make. So, let me explain that to you. Decisions are usually not just this or this. Am I going to buy this or am I going to buy this? The seller may be crooked. Maybe this item is stolen. Maybe this item is stolen, so I can't buy either one of them. But maybe this item is being sold by a single mom who's struggling, and it's a little more expensive than this item, which is sold by a good Christian businessman. I may buy this item just because I want to be a blessing to that woman. Right? So discernment, there's no clear biblical, only buy things from Christian business people. What if this is an unsaved single mom who's struggling to make ends meet and I want to bless her? Or this guy could be a Christian businessman who gives millions to missions, right? And I decide I'm going to buy it from this woman because my heart goes out to her for some reason, right? So not every decision is going to be black and white. I can find it in the Bible and make a choice. Is it in my budget? We've talked about that, right? Is it in my budget to buy this item? Is this something I want or is this something I need? Is this something I can use in my ministry or is this just something I'm going to use on my own pleasures? So you start making decisions based on that, good and evil. And you do that by applying the Word of God. So you walk into a situation and the decision's not clear. Well, there's grace for that too, right? Maybe the decision here is not clear, and I make one. There is no wrong decision here necessarily. In this case, maybe there's better and best. And a lot of times that's what we face, the better and best decisions. But I can tell you a lot of Christians can't decide between good and evil because they lack discernment. They're not obedient to the Word of God. For example, you may read a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that says if a man is calls himself a brother and is doing certain things, that I probably shouldn't eat with him. Paul says, stop fellowshipping with him. He's unrepentant. They're unrepentant. You stop fellowshipping with them. right? I've made mistakes in that area. But I'll tell you, that's a clear admonition from the Word of God. How about this one? One who mark those who cause division among you and avoid them, right? Why do people hang around with folks who cause division? Why? Because they won't apply the Word of God, they don't apply the Word of God, and so they lack, say it, discernment. And they're going to get in that situation and they're going to get infected. They're going to get infected by evil. I can't tell you the number of times I've warned people about certain situations and, you know, it's like it just gets ignored. Well, that's fine. Draw your own conclusions. But do it scripturally. Do the best you can to exercise and execute the knowledge from the Word of God that you're gaining. A sensitivity to the Spirit of God is absolutely critical for clarity and conviction. And one of the great measures that the Spirit of God is at work in a situation, and I was thinking about this afternoon, is when the fruit of the Holy Spirit is present, or when I can see which one of my decisions will bring the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Will this bring joy? Will this bring peace? Is this gentle? Right? Does this decision represent? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at it. Because this is a great way. Maybe you haven't thought of this. I know I hadn't thought of it like this. Making fruit of the Holy Spirit decisions. Love. Galatians 5, chapter 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. So does the decision I'm about to make promote love? Does it promote joy? Will it promote peace? Does it reflect long-suffering? Is there an element of kindness or goodness or faithfulness? Is the decision I'm about to make demonstrate my faithfulness to the Word of God? Or does this demonstrate God's faithfulness to us? How about gentleness? Is this decision one that is gentle for people involved? Is this a decision I'm making under self-control, or am I out of control making this decision? I lack self-control. So if you ever thought about decisions like this, maybe not. But this is how I know the Spirit of God is in a decision. I'm being sensitive to the Spirit of God if I'm making a decision parallel to the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is creating love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, shouldn't I be looking for that in my decision-making? How can I say I'm being sensitive to the Spirit of God in a decision if I ignore these components of his self-description? This is a description of what the Holy Spirit reproduces in a person's life who is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again, if I can. I may have to reword it, because now the definition is sort of gone. It's late in the day, and the sticky part isn't so sticky anymore. These nine fruits are a description of the outworking of the work of the Spirit of God in a believer's life. These are the manifestations of the Spirit's work in us. So discernment, if I'm going to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, wouldn't I give consideration to these nine elements as I make decisions? Family decisions, business decisions, relationship decisions, buying decisions, all my decisions. Imagine if, If every one of us took a 3x5 card and wrote these 9 fruits of the Spirit on a 3x5 card, and whenever we were about to make a decision, we'd pull out that 3x5 card, just look at it. So I saw somebody today who did great harm to a friend of mine. And he was in line at a particular business that I go to once in a while. And as I walked in, I saw his face, and I began to think in tremendous corruption towards this person. The works of the flesh began to rise in me because I am, people who know me for any length of time, I am a fiercely, if anything, I'm to a fault fiercely loyal to my friends. I'll kill you. That's a problem as a Christian. Right? So can I take out this thing? And I had been studying this last night, and I just stood there and I thought, okay, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Okay, God. I skipped kindness. I couldn't go there. I wasn't ready for kindness.
When you say long suffering, on our end?
Yes. If a believer is under the control of the Holy Spirit, he will be able to endure suffering at the hands of other people. Without directly retaliating. You know, you'll react, you grow, you know. Amanda's smiling over there.
We can
have our friend go make a phone call and get out of the way. It's a couple bucks, off you go. God is the one that will retaliate, so we don't directly retaliate. The Lord's vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So you get out of the way. I remember Menza used to say it like this. I let the Lord deal with the person. I make room for the Lord's anger. Make room for the Lord's judgment. To make room means I got to get out of the way. I got to declutter the situation by removing myself from it personally. So the Spirit of God. So imagine you get that 3x5 card out, and there, out it comes. You're about to make a decision. You know, you're on the car lot. You're in the car lot, and you sit down across from the salesman, and you know he's inflating the price considerably because you've done your homework, as you should, right? And then you take out your 3x5 card and say, how can I negotiate powerfully and effectively without being a jerk? And because I've done it both ways. And they can both work, but one of them you pay a price afterwards. You know, you're embarrassed afterwards, right? My daughter will tell you when we bought, is she online? No.
Yes.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
All right, why don't you go ahead? You can tell it. You can tell the story.
The car salesman almost pooped his pants because he was terrified of your very aura. Quite something to watch. But hey, you negotiated like off the truck.
I know you're welcome, but it was done. I didn't glorify God the way I could. I was intense. I was intentional and I was intense, but it could have been done a little bit better, a little bit differently. So yes, you can make any decision, and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is just this. You don't just. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit isn't walk around. Is the Holy Spirit nudging me over here? Is the Holy Spirit nudging me over here? No, that's not sensitive. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is recognizing His fruit and not violating it. The Bible says to grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Bible says don't quench the Holy Spirit, right? How do you quench and grieve the Holy Spirit? You do that by ignoring the fruit. His own description. Here he is. This is the personality of the outworking of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the outworking of the Spirit of God. So if I contradict those things, then I have grieved or quenched the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit is done with your mouth. Quenching the Holy Spirit is done with your rebellion. Grieving the Holy Spirit is done with your mouth. When you speak words that are not edifying, when you speak words that are sharp and unkind and they lack the seasoning of grace, right? They lack that little seasoning. Let your words be seasoned with grace, right? You don't season your words, you go like that. That you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the fruits of the Holy Spirit are not being, you're not glorifying God. What does it mean to glorify God? It means to have these things worked out in your decision making. How many understand that? Do you follow what I'm saying? If these things aren't being worked out in your decision making, I don't care how often you pray, I don't care how much money you give to the church, I don't care what role you have, if you're a pastor or a deacon or an elder or a teacher or whatever, you are not glorifying God. And by the way, where the fruit of the Holy Spirit is going to be the most evident and the most real to witness is in your home. It's in your home. If I'm not expressing the fruit of the Holy Spirit to my children and my wife, and then all of a sudden I come to church and I'm, you know, Mr. Fruit, more like a fruit loop than fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? Any chance I can get some water? A bottle of water, Joe? No, I heard it was just for... No, it was... It lacked timing. The timing was off. So in discerning the presence of God and discerning the Spirit of God, these fruits are an invaluable measurement. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is both towards God and towards people. I think we lack humility toward both at times. You know, when God is dealing with an area of your life and you're fighting him and resisting him, that's not humility. Thank you, sir. And when we're interacting with one another, our view of those people and the way we receive from one another is indicative of our... it'll tell you whether or not we're proud, right? I had some vitamins before I came, and they're like stuck right here. I know they're down, but they're like, you can feel where they were. Anyway, so I've told the young girls this in the church, and I'll just repeat it. Any man you're interested in, you should see how he receives from other people. Can he receive instruction? Can he receive correction? Can he receive those things and then execute what he's learning? Right? Now, have you ever seen somebody who they come across very gentle and they come across with, you would think they're just a nice attitude, right? But they're in flat out rebellion. You don't see any of the You don't see obedience to God at all, but they're the nicest people you ever... That's arrogance. That's not meekness towards God or meekness towards people. It looks like it is, but it's fake. It's phony. I'll take somebody rough around the edges who in the end is obedient to God all day long over someone who just comes across like a nice guy but doesn't have a heart after God, who doesn't let the Lord work in his life, who's never corrected, who won't receive the word, who isn't humble, who isn't growing. I'll take somebody who's rough around the edges, right? Right, Marcus? I'll take one Marcus over 20 of those other guys.
No.
See, that's not a very nice thing to say, no, is it? You've been listening to tonight's message, Derek? All right. So discerning the presence of God. The next thing we discern is the demonic. The demonic. So the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful, right? It says what after that? Who wants to tell me what it says after that? Anybody? What's it say after that? 1 Peter 5:8. This is a verse you should have memorized. Read it out loud, Lita.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Whose adversary?
The lion.
Whose adversary?
Ours.
Your adversary.
Yeah.
Your personal. We have a personal adversary. When I was in Africa, that verse came right off the page at me. Every time, you know, you have these life seasons where certain verses just nail you. This verse came right off the page in Africa. You have a personal adversary who wants to destroy you. And I remember Karen said one morning, she said, I believe right now that if Satan could, he would take my very life right now. And that's how you have to view the adversary. You know, it's funny. When God talked to Israel, what did he tell them to do with their adversaries? What, Harry? Let a few of them live? It was total annihilation, wasn't it? But we don't totally annihilate the things that are our adversaries. There's way too much tolerance to evil.
And that is not going your way or something always the devil?
No. Sometimes that's God resisting me because I'm proud. Sometimes that's God protecting me because I'm his child. Doesn't want me to make certain decisions. So I need to be sensitive to that and realize that God may be leading me through the circumstances like we talked about a few weeks ago. So I measure the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I take out my 3x5 card. And I said, okay, I'm in this decision. Do I still have love, joy, peace? Am I still gentle, kind-hearted? Am I got some long-suffering here? What is God working in my life? And I think when you do that, you're able to become creative too. Because a lot of times we lack creativity for dealing with problems, Lita. And we lack the creativity to problem solve. Because we're kind of absorbed in the wrong things. We're occupied with the wrong part of the problem. Sometimes we're so upset and disappointed that we're not getting our way that we can't look at the problem and come up with a good solution. Right?
That's right.
No. For the record, I never go anywhere in a car with a woman alone. So where you see, because of this, roaring lion seeking whom he may annoy?
Devour.
Serious stuff. Right? He's no joke. The signs of the enemy's hand, I was thinking about this. where you see confusion, lies, pride, fear, sexual perversion, hatred, and division, that's where you see the evil one. My father-in-law used to say, that is the Satan. The Satan. When his personality is manifesting in a situation, that is the Satan. Meaning, the one and only, the Satan. Definite article, Satan. These are not the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of another kingdom. The nature of God's work is not confusion, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33, right? He is not a God of confusion. So sometimes you get in these situations and it's just wroth with confusion. You know, you get in a meeting or you're with a group of people and you're trying to make a decision and all this confusion going on. That's not of God, right? So sometimes it's like, time out. Let's regroup and clarify what our goal is. And, you know, you got this group of people. Let's refocus here, you know. God is not a God of confusion. So where you see confusion and division and those other things I listed, that's where you can discern that the devil is in it. Division is a sign of the Satan. Gossip. Gossip. Let me say a brief word about gossip. The Lord hates gossip. Hello? One of the things that he hates, and the six things, yea, seven things he hates, not only like feet to run to shed innocent blood and all that, but the lying tongue and the gossiper, those who cause division. Gossip is never okay. Do you know what gossip is? Gossip is when I share information with someone who has no right being shared that information. Gossip is also me sharing information when I have no right to share that information. Gossip is also the destructive nature of a story, regardless of whether it's true or false. I could walk up to Liam and tell him something totally true that I know about Joe DiMaggio, and because it's not edifying, it's gossip. It doesn't have to be a lie. It can be the absolute truth. If I tell you something that's absolutely true about him, but it's not edifying, and it doesn't put him in a good light, and it lacks love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, all those things, I have just gossiped. And I'll tell you what, I know if I was part of a church that I heard regular gossip in, I would leave that church, because that is a sickness. That's a sign of a sick church. It's not a healthy church when there's gossip. And I've said this before. I hate it. I don't tolerate it. I will nip it in the bud. When I hear it, I go after it. When I find out it's being done, I will rebuke the person doing it. Why? Because the name Satan and the devil means slanderer. Devil is adversary. Satan is slanderer. Hello? How many hear what I'm saying? You got to hate it as much as I do. You probably, maybe you already do. Maybe you hate it more than I do. But gossip is a wicked, terrible thing. And most demonic activity in the church, ready for this? Is not demon possession. It's not demon. What's the other word? It's not possession. It's oppression. Thank you. It's not oppression or possession. It's gossip. That is the greatest form of demonic activity in the church today. You see how I just told you. His name means slanderer. His name is gossip. That's his nature. Spreading information with half-truths, without the whole story. What do you think he did in the garden? The first thing he did in the garden? Gossip. Slander. Yep. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 4:1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. How do I know the spirit is from God? Number one, it reflects the word. And number two, it manifests those fruits of the spirit. It is in line with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to have spiritual authority as a believer, because we're not called to fear the enemy. What did James say to do to the enemy? What did he say to do? Well, resist him. What's that? Submit to God, resist the devil. Resisting the devil. Christ has given his people authority to do this. You have the ability to do this through Jesus Christ alone. And that involves everything from casting down vain imaginations, high things that exalt themselves over the against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, revenging all disobedience with your obedience. Revenging disobedience with that's how you resist the devil. So this is now we're discerning the presence of God through the fruits of the Spirit. We're discerning evil. And by the way, in discerning evil, we know that wisdom that comes from above is pure, peaceable, and gentle, willing to yield. Wisdom that comes from below is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's in James chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. The third thing you want to discern, so we're discerning the presence of God, we're discerning the demonic. Now we're going to discern people's motives, teachers, leaders, people. And I'm going to give you three things that I think about with this. Number one is observation over time. You got to observe, be an observant person. You know, Paul said this to Timothy, said, lay hands on no man suddenly, right? Now, Paul's talking about leaders, so somebody comes in and says, I want to be a leader in your church. No, you don't. Number one, no, you don't. Number two, no, you won't. Not until you've served a period of time with faithfulness and demonstrated your maturity and consistency as a believer. I'm going to lay hands on you suddenly. What is Paul suggesting Timothy do? Observe the person over time. Another thing you want to do is you want to listen beyond the words. False teachers and divisive individuals use some of these wonderful tools. One of the first things you'll hear from a divisive person is flattery. Right? You are such a gifted person. I'm surprised they don't use you more. I've had this tried with several of the men in our church, and people come up, they say, you have an amazing gift. Frankly, I'd rather listen to you than the pastor. Somebody said that with one of the guys. Actually, I think it might have been Tim Kirkie. They said this to Tim Kirkie, and Tim Kirkie said, well, I'm not your pastor, am I? And apparently you don't need to hear from me. You need to hear from him. Because God's called you to this church, and he's the pastor. So the person you need to hear from is him, whether you like to hear him or not. Tim Kirkie. Mic drop Tim Kirkie. Yep. That was a long time ago. He told me about that like a year after it happened because he didn't want me to judge the guy who had happened. And that was his integrity because the guy stuck around. He didn't want me to judge him. So after he left, then he told me. So you're listening beyond words, flattery, manipulation, or constant self-promotion, right? Now, I used to do this. I used to do that. You know the church we used to go to? I used to do this. I can do this. I did that. I did this. I did that. Oh, good. Well, if that was so good and you were doing so well and you were serving so much, then go back. Why are you here? Really, true servants of Christ, you know what? They just point away from themselves. Don't stop looking at my life. Jesus. You know, Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. We don't preach ourselves. Christ and him crucified. And the third thing is just Spirit-given insight. There's going to be times when the Spirit will give a subtle but a strong inward restraint or a warning that's based on what you've learned. It's not hocus pocus. You have a ton of content. Right here, let me give you a typical example. You've been a believer since you were how old?
12.
12 years old. And you are now 20?
29.
Okay, so that's how many years?
That is, let's see.
15 maybe?
25
years.
So that would be wrong. So it would have to be 17.
17. Now, 17 years, right? Yeah. Every year you heard Sunday morning and Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how many times a year is that?
Well, that would be, what, 50 years and 40?
104.
Yeah, 104.
So 104 messages plus holidays times 17 years.
Yeah.
How many is that? What's that? 17 times 104. Hundred and four times 17 years. That's how many messages you've heard, right? 117. Where'd you get 17,000? 1,700. Now, 1,700. Oh, you did. I touched the 17,000. All right. So 1,700 or so. Now, add holidays, classes, personal study, reading your Bible. You've had thousands. Here's just Raquel. Thousands of messages. Thousands of Bible verses. Over and over again. Music, thousands of songs she's heard, right? Could say this about any one of you. So now someone walks up to you and you get this sense. Ooh. What is that? That's the resident word. By the way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word dwelt among us, right? That's Christ. When you've received all that knowledge, all that insight, all that word from God, that's you have a residual buildup, literally, of the personality of Jesus Christ to compare things to. So something is just not right. You discern that. You know what? You pray about that. You pray. And then you take out your 3x5 card. I want to make sure that I'm not going to violate the Spirit of God here. I want to glorify God. But if I get a caution, I walk in the caution. I've ignored those cautions before, thinking it was just me, and it gets me in trouble regularly. So I've learned now, if I get a little check in my spirit, I'm much more careful. Discernment is a supernatural gift as well as a cultivated discipline. First Corinthians 2 verse 10 says, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Right? The Spirit searches. And it causes us to distinguish. You know what the Word of God does? And first in Hebrews 4:12, it's quick and far powerful. It's sharper than any. And what does it do? What does it say after that? Read the rest of the verse. It does something. Thoughts, intents. What does it do?
Yeah, Ethan. What does it do?
I'm not going to give you the reference. You should know the reference. This is a very important verse. Yes. Oh, it was? What is Hebrews 4:12? What's the remainder of the verse, Alita? Go ahead. Read it.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
The Word of God does all that separating and discerning, internal discernment, and that comes from God's Word. So it is a supernatural gift, and it's also a cultivated discipline. It's both. It's both. It's a cultivated discipline as well as a supernatural gift. And that's discernment. Believers today need discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is judgment. Discernment is good judgment. I'm not talking about judging people. I'm talking about judging and decision-making, judging in situations, understanding spiritual ethics, right? And being able to understand and sense the presence of God, the activity of the enemy, the motives of teachers, false teachers, and people, and things like that. You are able to hear what is unspoken. You are able through discernment to hear what is unspoken, right? You're in a conversation with someone and you can literally hear what they're not even saying. That's part of discernment. That's a spiritual gift. You are also able to recognize what is beneath the surface. And discernment also gives you the ability to uncover what is disguised as good but is not. And I wrote this down. It is both natural wisdom sanctified by the Holy Spirit and supernatural insight from the Word of God given beyond human understanding. You're not gonna, don't try to write all it down. But you know, you have natural wisdom also as you grow and learn, right? And then you have the supernatural insight from the Word of God on top of that. So it is both a cultivated discipline as well as a supernatural gift. So the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. But the spiritual person judges all things. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 to 15. The spiritual person discerns all things. They take decision-making seriously. They take evaluation seriously. They look at life and they say, I get one shot at this, and I want to do it right, and I want to glorify God, and I want to do it with grace, And I want to have fun, but boy, I'm going to be careful in my decision making. I am going to discern all things. Discernment is essential for this hour that we live in right now. Pursue it. Pray for it. Practice it. Feed it with the Word of God. Pursue it. Pray for it. Practice it. And feed it with the Word of God. I think if you humble yourself before God, He'll sharpen your spiritual senses. Humble yourself before God, He will sharpen your spiritual senses. Seeing what is hidden, hearing the voice beyond the words, understanding lies beneath appearances. I think it's an amazing thing. Discernment is absolutely needed in today's church. And you're going to take a trip, you're going to go on a mission field, you better be praying that God gives you discernment. Stay filled with the Word of God. Be very careful, right? Discern what the will of the Lord is. Discern what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes it's time to talk. Sometimes it's time to not talk. Sometimes it's time to joke. Sometimes it's time to shut up. Right? Sometimes it's time to serve. Sometimes it's time to relax and let someone else serve. Knowing what time it is discernment. It's part of it too. There's a time to love somebody. There's time to not love somebody. There's a time to be angry at somebody. There's a time to be patient with somebody. There's a time to laugh. There's time to cry. Some people have no discernment. They don't know how to draw those lines, you know. I remember I preached this serious message about hell. This is in Academy Square. You could hear a pin drop during the message. We got over to Avicoy's, and there's one particular friend of mine who's a joker. Kept trying to lighten the moment. God didn't want to lighten the moment. God didn't want to lighten that moment. And at one point I leaned over and I said, right now I want people to just sense the power of what they heard. This isn't a time for that. God speaks to His church. The discerning individual knows God is speaking to the church. The pastor's not speaking to the church. The pastor may be trying to stay out of God's way for a half an hour while God speaks to the church. Usually that's the case. I think it's a privilege to be a mouthpiece, but that's all I am. God is the one who speaks to this church. God is the one who trains this church and teaches this church. I'm an under-shepherd. I'm one of the dogs that goes along with the flock and just barks. The shepherd is Jesus, right? And when He is teaching the church something, God's people need to discern that and say, okay, this is the topic right now. Let's be tender hearted towards the topic and embrace the topic and think about the topic. Now, one of the reasons we do raps after church is so that people can assimilate what they've heard. There's nothing worse than when you hear a message and somebody comes up and starts talking about something totally different than the message. You're just trying to digest what you heard, and then someone comes up with some ridiculous detail of life. That'd be like if Mike gets a bite of filet mignon and I walk up behind him and hit him right between the shoulder blades in the back, right? Let the guy eat his food. Look at him. He's hungry. Let the guy eat, right? Let the church digest. Let the church receive. Let people learn and be discerning. Amen? Now, please don't think I don't want you to have fun afterwards when you're with each other. Because that's part of the edification and the process too. But learn to discern the mood of God. Now, God doesn't have erratic mood swings, but he certainly, sometimes you're going to hear a tone from the Lord, and then sometimes you're going to hear a different tone. Wouldn't you agree? How many of you have heard different tones from God? Right? I've witnessed that. Sometimes God is like just wants to have fun and be goofy. And so I'm just as goofy as, because God wants that. Sometimes it's very serious. Sometimes it's very academic. Sometimes it's edifying. Sometimes it's a little warning. Sometimes it's instructive. It's a different mood. So you discern what mood God is expressing. And then you complement his mood with your response to it. That makes sense? Thank you, Lord, for this time tonight. I pray you would help us to grow in this area. All of us need to, and we thank you that it's possible as a gift from you, and it's something we cultivate through discipline. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen.